Welcome to the You Can Man podcast, episode 102. I'm your host, Tim, and on today's show, what you should know about your car's filters. Hey guys, welcome back to the You Can Man podcast, where we believe what one man can do, you can do as well, but you got to have help from your friends and the proper know-how. On this week's show, I hope to give you guys some proper know-how on your car's filters and even some filters that you kind of forget about. We've got oil filters, air filters, even cabin air filters, fuel filters. But have you ever wondered what goes into making these and the differences in the quality? Does it really matter what kind of filter you buy? You know, and what separates one from the other one? I've got a special guest on the show today, Nathan from Fram. Nathan, say hello.
Hello, Tim. It's a pleasure to join you on your show.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And Nathan is a senior project manager with Fram. And I do want to say that this is a sponsored show by Fram. So the Fram folks reached out to the You Can Man podcast and said, hey, we'd like to do a podcast to help promote some of our products. And I enthusiastically said yes. And here's why. Because I've been using Fram products for years and I love their products. And so I would never promote something that I don't personally use or really like. And so it was such an easy thing to say to the Fram folks, yes, absolutely. I literally just put a Fram oil filter in my 2012 Toyota Sienna. So anyways, it's such an easy decision for me, but I just want to let you guys know on the front end that this is a sponsored episode, but this is something I would do anyways, even if they hadn't reached out talking about car filters. And so it was a perfect match because we talk about changing, you know, your oil yourself on your car all the time. And I know that, Josh and Dave, guys that were recording with me, we'd go back and forth about whether or not that's worth doing. And I was always a big proponent. No, you have to do it yourself. And I have all these reasons behind that. But anyways, love having Nathan on the show today. And we're going to get all into filters on your car. And including an N95 cabin air filter. So you guys have heard that term thrown around so much during all of the crazy Rona times that we've had, the N95 filters. Well, how about putting one of those things in your car? And Fram has you covered with that. And then we are going to have a bonus segment this week. So Nathan, and we talked previously, so Nathan knows this, that I always ask my guests, where are you on the DIY scale? Well, Nathan is going to cover that for us and answer that for us. So he's not getting out of that question. He's going to answer that for us in our bonus segment. And we're going to talk about kind of his DIY journey, his personal journey, and kind of the motivation behind why he does what he does. So, all right. So, Nathan, let's get right into it. I've got some questions to help guide us along. So I wanted to take some time first off to talk about Fram as a company, because they've been around since 1934. Very long history. So talk to us about, you know, the history of Fram a little bit and how they've been established as like an industry leader.
Well, Fram is trusted since 1934, and our main facility is located in Greenville, Ohio. We have other manufacturing facilities based in the U.S. through our parent company called First Brands Group. They're located in Illinois and Michigan, where we manufacture additional oil, cabin, air, engine air, and fuel filters.
Okay. Yeah. When I think of Fram, I mean, when I think of oil filters, I legit do go to Fram. I mean, I feel like they are the number one filter brand out there. Like their name has been around for decades. I've probably been using Fram since the very first time I changed oil. So listeners, I know, you know, you've seen it when you're changing filters in your car, Fram is there. Like, it doesn't matter what store you're going to, Fram products are there. And to me, just high quality stuff. Like, I don't have to worry about Fram messing up on me. Every time I've used Fram stuff, it's been great. And so I'm really interested to hear what Nathan has to say about all of their different filters. So You know, we've got the basics, right? We've got oil filters, of course. We've got the air filters, like engine air filters. We've got fuel filters. So let's talk through like the different filter types that we have now, and including, I want to touch on too that the differences in oil filter types now that we have. We've got like the cartridge style that's kind of been around for a few years, but it's relatively like a newer filter. So I want to talk through that as well.
Sure. I can help with each of those questions. The fuel and engine air filters are similar in that they protect the engine from contaminants entering the system. Oil filters are the sibling to the engine air filter, and it works to take out contaminants that get past the engine air filter or those that are created in the lubrication process. Most of us DIYers are used to the iconic spin-on filter.
Yes.
But some of us are starting to see a different type of filter on our newer vehicles called the cartridge. The cartridge style has been introduced on some global platforms where Europe has worked to improve recyclability. And this filter is placed into a permanent housing. It's attached to the engine and works in the same way as the can of the spin-on filter. Instead of replacing the can every time, you only replace the internal components. And I found this pretty interesting. So for the history buffs listening here, Fram was started with the invention of the replaceable cartridge. The spin-on filter actually wasn't introduced until Fram developed it in the 50s.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting. So what we think of as the traditional oil filter wasn't really traditional. That was like a new invention brought on by Fram.
Right. And so from its inception, Fram has been innovating ways to make the work easier, including things like adding sure grip texture to the can.
Yes, yes. I was going to ask you about that too, because that is one thing that when I think of Fram oil filters specifically, that differentiates you guys from others is that grip that you put on a lot of the filters. Of course, that's only on the spin-on style. It's not on like the canister ones, obviously. But that's interesting. I did not know that. So I guess originally they had the cartridge style that would go in some sort of housing, but then Fram design the spin-on style. So, okay, well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Yeah, so the first car that I've ever owned that has the cartridge styles are 2012 Toyota Sienna. Yes, I got a minivan now, guys. I love the thing. I love driving that thing. I had to look up YouTube videos on how to change this cartridge style because I had never done it. I had never looked into it. So like, you know, you gotta drain the oil out of the, well, you don't have to, but you'll get oil all over yourself, but you gotta drain the oil out of the canister first before you unscrew the housing. So that was like one big thing. But yeah, it's way less waste too, is another big thing to those cartridge styles, because the spin-on ones, that's got to be creating a lot of waste. It's like a one-time use thing, and then, you know, you're just throwing that away. So you had talked about some of that European car manufacturers. Have they been using it for a lot longer than the American car manufacturers?
I think it's just been introduced on these global platforms, and the OEMs have been working to reduce the throwaway content and increase that recyclability content. It's been an initiative that has been going on for quite some time now.
Okay. So let's talk about some of those more, I don't know, obscure filters on the car. So, you know, we've kind of covered some of the basics there, and I do want to get to cabin air filters, but, you know, things like the PCV valve. I always think like, wait, is there a valve on the end of that when I say PCV? And it is. So positive crankcase ventilation. But let's talk about some of those filters that we just don't think about very often. And I guess that PCV would be one of those.
Yeah, PCV is actually a pretty easy filter to change yourself. Like some others, transmission, hydraulic, power steering or coolant or breather filters. Anywhere there's a fluid or air moving through the vehicle, there can be a filter. Generally, these are replaced infrequently or only as a repair.
Right. You had mentioned a coolant filter. I don't, maybe cars that I have had this. I don't remember seeing a coolant filter. Maybe my Toyota Sienna does. Is that a fancy thing? Because I don't remember seeing that.
It's not as common, and you'll see this more commonly on heavy duty equipment.
Okay. That makes more sense. And even like the hydraulic stuff, I guess Fram makes filters for all of that, but that's going to be more on like heavy machinery, maybe?
Absolutely, it can be.
Okay. Now, of course, you've got transmission filters, and that's something that, gosh, not a lot of DIYers tackle. I have before, but I think a lot of people that even just do kind of basic work don't think that they can do a transmission filter. And of course, this depends completely on the type of vehicle that you have. But I've done it before on my 98 Ford Explorer.
How'd that go for you?
It was not bad. It was not bad at all. I had to, you know, drop the transmission pan, of course. And I ended up replacing the transmission pan, the stock one, with one that had a drain plug because the original one didn't have it. But obviously, when I dropped the pan, I was changing that filter. So, and then another one too that you, I think you had mentioned, was the power steering filter. And that's another one that it makes sense, the power steering fluid filter. But I don't remember ever seeing one of those on a car that I owned. Is that more of a technical, like a thing on heavy machinery, or is that something that we're seeing on cars?
We do see that on cars and trucks, but again, it's not something that you replace as a maintenance item. It's something that you would replace as a repair or may come included in the power steering mechanisms.
Okay, so that makes sense. So like if you have some sort of catastrophic failure in your power steering pump, then you might have metal shavings and who knows what. And then that power steering filter, fluid filter, is going to catch that stuff. But you wouldn't really be replacing that. It's just like a maintenance thing. It's just if you have a failure with the power steering system. Is that what you mean?
Right.
Well, let's talk about, you know, when I go to the parts store, and there is seriously just like a plethora of different filter choices. So what are those things that are differentiating one filter from the next?
In filtration, when you're shopping for a filter, you're looking for durability, capability, and longevity in the products that you buy. Filters are really characterized by their efficiency, which is the size and percent of the contaminant captured.
Right.
Their capacity, the grams of contaminants that filter will hold, and restriction. Measured by the pressure drop or the pressure differential.
Okay. And that restriction probably comes really into play when we're talking like something like the engine air filter, because obviously you want as much air flowing through that filter as possible, but then you also want to be catching as much junk. So it's kind of like that trade-off, I guess, or like the better product is going to be something that's, you know, catching a lot of the junk, but also letting that air flow freely.
Right. So it is a balance during development of a filter. When one of these characteristics, efficiency, capacity, or restriction are improved, the others might be reduced. And the filter media can be made of cellulose or glass, synthetics, or even a blend. And blends and synthetics are more recent additions to filter media and can really provide a superior filtration. There's other critical components that contribute to a longer life of a filter. The sealing gasket and the anti-drain back valve in the oil filter need to be made of a specific durable material so they can last longer. Once you've developed a media that has a high efficiency to improve both the capacity and the restriction, it takes a more expensive media. Mm-hmm. And that's why, or part of the reason, you see different prices for different filters on the shelf.
Right. And Fram's got, you know, they've got a multiple different grades. So like I'm looking at it, I feel like I normally gravitate towards the Tough Guard, which I don't think is like the bottom one. It's kind of like a couple up. but so what you're saying is it just basically all has to do with the type of media that is being used to capture contaminants. Yes.
Yeah, on the oil side, you have Extra Guard, Tough Guard, like you said, and Ultra Synthetic. That's kind of the good, better, and best. They're examples of the tiered performers in the Fram offering. With every step up, The components are improved to provide superior protection and extend the maintenance schedule. So their media are all rated at 20 microns. And do you know what a micron is?
I do not.
Everybody out there?
Especially when it comes to something like this. I mean, I would think it's like something like, you know, parts per million or something like that. I don't know.
So a micron is the measurement unit used to identify the size of contaminants in the filtration industry. To give you an example of how small this is, 20 microns is about 65 times shorter than the length of a grain of sand.
Okay, that's small.
Or imagine splitting a sheet of notebook paper into five different layers. Each layer would be about 20 microns thick.
Okay. So each of the filters, like regardless of what you're getting, you know, the different grades that Fram offers, that they're all going to be filtering at least 20 microns. Sorry, what did you say? What was the term?
At 20 microns thick. And so when you're shopping for a filter, you're going to want to look for a smaller micron size, but also at a high percentage of efficiency.
Okay.
Some filters out there advertise a higher efficiency, but at a larger particle size. You can get both plus a longer filter life with higher grades of filters.
Okay. Is that something like, are they going to post? Is that like something in your tech sheets or something? Or is that going to be something I'm going to be able to see on the box? Like if I'm at the store, can I pick up that box and see these micron levels?
Right. You will. The extra guard filter is 95% efficient at that 20 micron size. And that lasts up to 10,000 miles. The ToughGuard filter that you use is 99% efficient. So 99% of particles at 20 microns or larger are being captured. And that one lasts up to 15,000 miles. And the Ultra Synthetic is somewhere above that 99% and lasts up to 20,000 miles.
Okay, so that transitions my next question I had. So we're all familiar with the, you know, change your oil every 3,000 miles. That was for probably decades, like the standard, okay, yeah, it was like 3 months or 3,000 miles. Now, with the introduction of synthetics and just engines are getting way better, oil quality, everything, that's all been kind of done away with. And I think it's been done away with for like, I feel like maybe at least like 10 years or plus. I don't know. I'm trying to remember like when the last time was I saw some sort of ad or something that said every 3,000 miles. But, you know, you've got all these new cars coming out and they will literally say, you know, in the owner's manual, yeah, you don't have to do that. It's going to be like every like 7,000 miles. And then everybody's got an opinion on how often you should be changing it. And I know, you know, Fram probably doesn't have like an official stance on that because it's probably going to have to do with the individual car. Is that the case or no?
We do recommend referring to the owner's manual for the oil filter change interval.
Okay.
But these engines, these newer engines are built with tighter tolerances, for example, turbos, and run at hotter temperatures, sometimes using synthetic oil to achieve the performance and those longer change intervals. And with these tighter tolerances, equipping your engine with a synthetic filter, such as a Fram Ultra Synthetic, you can take advantage of the longer life of the synthetic oil and get a change life up to 20,000 miles.
Okay, now that's crazy, 20,000 miles. So you're saying if I'm going to probably spend the money, let's take my situation, for example. So I always change my own oil. I take advantage of buying the nicer oil. So I get like the full synthetic oil because I guess in my head I'm thinking, well, I'm not paying the exorbitant amount of money to take it somewhere. So I can afford to put the nicer oil in my car. So I always do that. So I probably should be pairing that with a higher grade filter and then maybe even leaving that in longer in between oil changes, because what you're saying, it sounds like, you know, if I bought this, the better Fram filter, like the top Fram filter, I could probably go through multiple oil changes, at least two maybe. I'm trying to think about what intervals I'm changing at now. I think I'm at like about like 5,500 miles every 5,500 miles. And I know I could probably go longer, but I'm just like, because our minivan's kind of getting up there in miles. And so probably arbitrary, but that's what I've been doing. But if I've changed in every 5,500 miles or so, if I had that higher grade Fram oil filter, this full synthetic version of that, could I go through multiple oil changes with that at my 5,000 interval?
You would never reuse an oil filter during oil change. When you change your oil or change your filter, you should change both at the same time.
Okay. So that's good to know then.
But, you know, the standard oil and a standard oil filter working in tandem got you that 3,000 mile change interval. But by improving the materials in the filter and then combining it with the improved performance and life of a synthetic oil is how you achieve the longer change interval.
So bottom line, if you're going through the trouble, the expense of using that higher grade full synthetic oil, you should probably be pairing it with the higher grade oil filter to kind of take advantage of that longer mileage that you're getting in between the filter changes. Yeah. So probably what I should do is just should probably upgrade to the better filter and then extend those time periods in between when I'm changing oil. I could probably do that on my Toyota, but my old 1998 Ford Explorer burns oil. So like I literally can't go that far in between because I got to just it's not good to do that. I got to change that more frequently. But okay, well, that's good to know. Probably you guys listening that still change your own oil. I know we're a dying breed, but that needs to change. If you're using synthetic oil, you probably should just go ahead and bump up to the nicer oil filter to pair it with. So that's good to know. Let's talk about the cabin air filters. I wanted to hit on this because I feel like that's one of those things that people don't even realize they have in their car. And I was trying to think back. I think the first car that I owned that had one was, we had a 2006 Honda Accord. That's what it was. And it had one. That was the very first time I had a car with one. And then you had to pop off like the cowl cover to access this one. It was really weird because now I'm thinking like most of all the other cars that I know of, you access it through like the glove box door. So like my Toyota Sienna, that's how you access it through the glove box door. But talk about cabin air filters, you know, why should we care? Why should we care about cabin air filters?
Right. Yeah. The first cabin air filter in its basic form was invented in the 50s by a manufacturer of a needle nonwoven fabric.
Okay.
And he noticed that his clothes would get dirty from the vent air when riding in the car. So he took some of his fabric and put it over the air intake vents. And that reduced the amount of debris that was coming into the car. Sometime after that, Mercedes decided to add this to their vehicles as a feature.
Of course it was Mercedes.
And the first time was in 1989. And then Ford tried it in the mid-90s on the Contour.
Really?
But it didn't catch on really widely until recently.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say that Ford did on the Contour because, yeah, I totally owned a 97 Contour. I had no clue that it had a cabin air filter.
And now most vehicles after 2005 come equipped with a cabin air filter, and with good reason. The importance of a cabin air filter is that it removes the dirt and contaminants from the air that you breathe inside of the vehicle. So this is different than the engine air filter, which filters the air your engine breathes.
Right.
And the idea behind this filter is similar to the filter in your HVAC system in the house, your furnace. Just like your house, changing this filter will keep the air you breathe cleaner. And if you notice the AC or the heat not blowing as great as it used to, for example, or the air from the vent smells musty, probably a good sign to check the cabin air filter for replacement.
Yeah, because the first time I had changed that filter, the thing was nasty. And like, I just, I didn't even realize it, you know? And then you think back of, well, I think about my 98 Explorer. Well, it doesn't even have one. And so the vents, you know, it's that old. So who knows what in the world is in all the vents, you know, especially when you're thinking through like the AC and the humidity, especially in the South. And then that condensation that can build up, and then you've got mildew issues. Well, when that air is circulating, if you've got a cabin air filter, which chances are most of you guys listening, your car probably has one, you know, it's going to be filtering out some of that stuff for you. And then, you know, another big thing I was thinking through is pollen. A lot of our listeners are in the metro Atlanta area, or at least the Southeast. We get crazy pollen every spring. This past year wasn't actually that bad. I don't know if it was like the rain schedule of like when, how much rain we got and stuff like that. But you know, if you don't have that cabin air filter, or if you do have the cabin air filter and it's horrible and it's not filtering out what it should, you're going to be getting pollen and stuff all up in your vents. And so that was one thing my brain went to, because I'll even have my Explorer, I'll notice around springtime, like some pollen just kind of just inside the vents. You can kind of just see like a light little dusting of yellow. And I'm assuming if I had a cabin air filter, I wouldn't be seeing that.
Right. Yeah. Changing the filter seasonally can really help, especially if you're suffering from allergies.
Yeah. Let's talk.
Typically I'll change the filter once a year, but I might check it out every spring and fall just for inspection.
Right. And maybe it's just my car. Are most of the locations going to be accessible from the glove box?
Most vehicles I've looked at have their filter located near the glove box. Might be behind the glove box. You open it up and open a door, or under the glove box towards the center of the vehicle, both of which are really simple to get to. And like you said earlier, others are in this great spot under the hood, near the windshield, and you called it a cowl.
Right. And I don't know if that's the cover. Right. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but
that's exactly right. And just like on your home's furnace, you remove that cover, remove the old filter, clean out any debris that you find, pop in the new filter and close it back up.
Yeah. You know, you guys have got a fairly new filter, the True Air filter, I think is what you're calling it. And it has graded at the N95 level.
Yeah, before this past year, not many of us thought so critically about the air we breathe. We started wearing these N95 masks and thought, well, what if we used this grade of filter media for the cabin? And it could really help a lot of people. So we developed this remarkable filter called the Frame True Air, and it protects against harmful contaminants as small as 0.3 microns at a 95% efficiency. And it's a really quick and easy DIY project. You can reference the owner's manual to find where the cabin filter is located on your vehicle. In a few minutes, you should be able to replace it.
Yeah, totally not hard. And then, you know, if you want to just do a quick, you know, YouTube search with your car, make and model, you'll be able to figure it out like in no time. Totally a DIY job for sure. So check out that True Air N95 filters that Fram's got going on now. Well, Nathan, I really appreciate your time going through, talking about all the differences and filters. I definitely learned some things. But listeners, stick around. We're going to have a bonus segment, and Nate's going to talk kind of more about his own personal DIY journey and philosophy. I think he may ask me some questions too. I don't know. But we'll be back after the break. Stick around. Do you have an idea for a website that you've just been sitting on forever and ever and just can't get it off the ground? Well, maybe website hosting and domain name registration and all these things kind of confuse you. They did me at one point in time, but I've been using GetSimple.net for years. You know, hosting your website can be really complex, such a hassle, but not when you go to GetSimple.net. Whether you need hosting for something specific like WordPress or you need to register a domain name, Simple Source Solutions can help you dump the stress and get back to doing what makes your business great. Simple Source is your trusted hosting provider for all your hosting needs. We've got a promo code for you guys. So to get started, visit GetSimple.net and use promo code YCM for 10% off your order. That's promo code YCM at GetSimple.net. All right, guys, welcome back. We're going to be talking to Nathan about his own DIY journey, you know, his philosophy behind doing what he does. So, you know, he's a product manager with Fram, but also does a lot of stuff himself. And what a great company to work for, Fram, and you're into the DIY culture. And so Fram is huge into that, you know, people changing their own oil and that sort of thing. And so I think it's great that Nathan is into that himself. So Nathan, what would you say is, you know, what got you started doing things yourself? Was that something you grew up doing, or when did that start?
Well, my grandpa was the ultimate DIYer in our family. He seemed to be able to build just about anything, a house, a garage, a shop, and he built and restored vintage cars. These are really beautiful. And one of them he pulled out of a lake in Missouri.
What?
And yeah, he had to make the tools to make tools needed to create body panels and other parts.
Dang.
And it's such a great memory sitting with him and working on his cars when I got a chance, or using the sandblaster, or just really getting to hang out with him. And when I got my first car, I was poor. It had some problems, and if I wanted to drive it, I had to learn how to fix it.
Right. So is that a necessity?
Right. It was. When I was looking at how to get something fixed, I would look at both how much it would cost for me to do it, plus buy the tools, or how much it would cost for me to pay somebody to do it. And sometimes I could buy the tools and learn how to do it. And I just had to do that sometimes in order to make it work.
Yep, totally. Because a lot, and we've talked about this too on the podcast before, that a lot of times what starts your do-it-yourself journey is literally out of necessity, or just you're poor and you have to do this. Like, you know, you're a college student and your car breaks down and you don't have the money to pay somebody else to do it, but you could buy the tools and do it yourself and save a lot of money. So it sounds like that was kind of the way that you really got and started doing things yourself. So what do you feel like is one of those, you know, bigger jobs that you've done on your car?
Right off, straight away, I had to replace the fuel tank. And soon after that, I had a leak and had to replace the head gasket. So I had to pull apart a lot of the top of the engine. And so it really got me into understanding how the engine works, how to maintain it, and how to work in a clean environment when opening that sensitive part of the vehicle.
Oh, for sure. So talk to me about that fuel tank you had to drop. What kind of car was that in?
Well, it was in the middle of winter, of course.
And you're in what, Michigan? Yes.
Michigan. Yeah. So I got whatever little heat I could in the garage, got the car off the ground and dropped it down. You know, my fingers were just numb, but I was able to do it and succeed and get a new fuel tank popped in all in the same day. So I felt really successful with that.
And what car, sorry, you may have said it, what car was that in?
That was a 1996 Oldsmobile Cutlass Sierra.
Oh, nice. So was it like a rust issue? Because I know y'all deal with a lot of that.
It was a rust issue.
Okay. I'm so like, it that's had, so foreign
at the bottom of the tank.
Yeah, it's so foreign to us, you know, in the Atlanta area, thinking through rust issues. I know that's like a big thing where you are. I don't think I've ever had to really deal with that. I mean, I've got an old Bronco, 75 Ford Bronco, and I had to deal with rust on that, but it was just because it was
a great truck.
Yeah, it's just because it was, you know, from 1975. But you guys, you know, you could have a car that's a few years old, and if you're not good about washing all that salt mess off of there on your undercarriage, you could start having rust problems, you know, within a couple of years, I would assume, of getting the new car. So, oh gosh. And then the head gasket, that I'm trying to remember. I don't think I've done a head gasket. I think I've helped a friend do it, but I don't think I've had to do that on mine. But what you said about, you know, keeping everything like neat and clean, that's so important, you know, when you're doing a head gasket, especially like cleaning, you know, that and cleaning that surface before you put everything back together.
Right. Yeah. Anytime you open something with a seal or gasket, you've got to completely clean that off and replace the seal and or gasket.
Yeah. So let's wrap up. I know. So we had a phone call earlier this week to just kind of go over the show notes and that sort of thing about what we'd be talking about. And I remember you saying that you all at Fram had kind of noticed a resurgence, if you will, of a lot of your customers doing things themselves over this whole COVID year that we've had. Is that the case? Like you're seeing more people get into that?
There was a bit of a shift, and I think we're discovering the pride that we can gain from developing our skills and displaying the results of our efforts. For me and for many others, just learning how to do something takes time and effort. With all the spare time that many of us acquired over the last year, it's allowed us to start getting into more of these DIY projects.
Totally. Yeah, we've seen that a ton on our Facebook group, just all these people tackling these big projects. And so that makes total sense. Like, I would assume that a lot more people have been changing their own oil because, well, I don't have that 2-hour commute now. So I've got that much more of my life back, you know, I'm working from home. So it makes total sense to do that. So I would encourage our listeners, you know, you're thinking through, you got extra time now. If you've now switched to working from home, I don't know, you know, how many folks are going to be going back to the office or not. Did you have to go back to the office, Nathan?
We are not yet, but we do go back to the office and meet in groups and teams.
Okay.
Just to get some face-to-face time and work on some projects where we need that extra together and face-to-face.
Right. What was your commute like before? Like, how much time have you got back from your life?
I got an hour back in my life.
Okay. An hour every day.
Half hour there, half hour back every day. And while it's nice not driving in the commute, I still like to go out and drive and just cruise around.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you think about that, just the sheer amount of time that people are getting back. And so just listeners, I want to encourage you, think through, like literally add up those hours, think through how many hours you used to be spending commuting. And hopefully, you know, you're working for a company that is allowing you to work from home and that sort of thing. And man, take some time to take up that next, you know, do-it-yourself project, and don't waste the time that you've now gotten back. Don't waste the time that COVID had stolen from you, but now, you know, you've got back not having to go into the office. I think that's going to do it for this week's show. Nathan, thank you so much for coming on the show and schooling us about all the various filters that Fram makes. And I just really appreciate Fram sponsoring the UK Man podcast. It says a lot about Fram as a company to reach out to, you know, UK Man. We're still kind of like one of the little guys, but we're out there trying to, you know, promote everybody doing it yourself, doing things yourself. And a big part of that is working on your car yourself. And Fram has allowed us to do that and with their awesome products. And so I really, really appreciate Fram reaching out to me and doing this sponsored episode. So Nathan, thank you so much for being on the show with us today.
Absolutely, Tim. It was a pleasure to join you.
All right, guys, check out the Facebook group page if you haven't done so already. I'll be posting some stuff, Fram related, of course, on the Facebook group page. And if you have any questions, specific questions about, you know, any kind of filters that we talked about on the show today, maybe just use the Facebook group as outlet to do that. And then I'll kind of forward those questions on to Nathan and we'll get an answer back for you. But thanks so much for joining us once again, and we will catch you guys next time.